Grace, mercy, and peace be with you in the name of Jesus, our eternal Lord and Savior. We read from God's Word today from Psalm 78, verses 1 through 8. Give ear, O my people, to my instruction. Turn your ear to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth to share a lesson. I will speak about puzzling problems from long ago, things we have heard and known, things our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders that he has done. He set up testimony for Jacob. In Israel, he established the law. He commanded our fathers to make it known to their children. Then the next generation would know it, even the children not yet born. They would rise up and tell their children. Then they would put their confidence in God, and they would not forget the deeds of God, but they would keep his commands. Then they would not be like their fathers, a stubborn, rebellious generation, a generation that did not keep their hearts steadfast, whose spirits were not faithful to God. Dear fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, I was shocked a few weeks ago when I got to my office door out there and found an unexpected surprise on the steps. It wasn't a package from Amazon. It wasn't a mischievous animal milling around my door. Thankfully, it wasn't spray paint either. It was this, the Yellow Pages. I had a double take when I saw the Yellow Pages, not because I don't know what it is, but because it was so long since I'd actually seen a copy of it. And even longer since I actually used it. I wasn't even aware that they still distributed it, but in a little plastic bag out on the steps, they gave us two copies of the real Yellow Pages. In our lives, Google has overtaken the purpose of the Yellow Pages. When we have a need, when we look for something to help us out in life, to offer us assistance, or to give us a fix to something beyond our expertise, we use the Yellow Pages. Today we can type it into our phones, or we can probably just speak directly to it and have some sort of solution given to us directly. I even chuckled a bit that on the cover here it says that in a last ditch effort of relevancy, I suppose, it says the original search engine. But you can look in your Yellow Pages and you can find alphabetically just about any service. You probably know how it works. If you need a general contractor, you can look it up and find who you want to call. If you've got a clogged pipe at home, you can look it up and find which plumber you want to send out. You can even go to look up what kind of restaurant and what type of food you'd like to eat at that evening. Whether we're talking about the Yellow Pages, which to us may seem outdated, or to the newer version of Google and the internet, these types of services really come down to two things: process and purpose. If you've got a problem that you need to call an expert about, it's because you're not familiar with the process. It's something that you're not educated in or trained in, maybe something you haven't practiced well enough. Maybe you really know how a basement drain works, but you just don't really have experience unclogging it. But there's also a purpose, right? The reason we call the experts in, the reason we seek out help, is because we know that there are certain things in life that provide a function for us. We know that there's a certain way that that sink and that basin is supposed to work. It has a purpose. And in order to get it working again, you have to follow the process. There's a purpose and process to the theme of our study today as well: Christian education. God says that he calls on you to fulfill this purpose. Unlike us looking something up in the Yellow Pages or searching on it on our phones, God is the one knocking on our doors today. God is the one that says, I have a call to your life to help you out with the problem that you face. And the way that he does that is he shares his truth to us by educating us in his word. Christian education can mean a variety of different things. Sometimes we can look at our Christian day school. Sometimes we can look at Sunday school and Bible classes. Sometimes we can think of Christian education as instruction about certain details and truths in the Word of God. Sometimes we look at Christian education as directly giving the gospel to someone. But it always comes down to a process and a purpose. Sometimes we're a bit put off by that, though. We understand what God is calling us to do, but for various reasons, we don't like to do it. Perhaps we're overconfident in our faith. Perhaps we think that we know enough already in our hearts, that we've been a Christian long enough, that we've given our children or people in our community enough knowledge about what the Word of God says that we really don't have to keep on doing it. It's sort of a mundane, unnecessary task. Sometimes we're intimidated by the call of God. You might be tempted to think that that's why you have a pastor. It's his job to do that. It's his job to educate. It's his job to teach. I can't do it in the way that he can. He's a professional. But that's not what God says either. Try as we might, what we can't escape from is that God points the finger directly at you. It says you are responsible for Christian education. He says, parents, you're responsible for your children. Church members, you're responsible to one another. Christians who have been around for a while, you're responsible to those who might have just started out their path of faith or might be weak in that faith. And ultimately, each person is responsible before God for their own heart. Looking at the process and purpose that God gives us in His Word helps us understand what God tells us through this call and how we can go about fulfilling it in our lives. Now, when we speak about a process, I don't want to insinuate that Christian education is just about a checklist, that if you do it like a process, you go down the list and follow the pattern, that everything's going to work out the same in the end, that you just put in the numbers to the equation, it'll compute the answer that you want. You don't need me to tell you that that's not what it's like. Life has its unexpected twists and turns. People respond in different ways to what God says in His Word. There is no one-fits-all, check-the-boxes method. But what God tells us about process is that He's sharing with us the tools that He's given us to accomplish the task. It may not be the same for your life as it is for theirs. It may not fit that situation as well as it does the other one. But the tools can lead us down the right path. God tells us in this psalm this morning, one of the first and most important parts of the process that He gives us, commitment. You can't wait around for your schedule to open before you make Christian education a priority. God says that's part of the process. You're dealing with something in life that you have to set aside time for. You have to make a commitment that this is important enough to put higher on the priority list. Because if you want, we know well enough, life is full of enough obligations and distractions to put Christian education on the back burner. To wait for next week or next month. Or to say that my child can take care of that when they get older. God says the first and most important part of the process is commitment. And so our first verse says, "Give ear, O my people, to my instruction. Turn your ear to the words of my mouth." Heeding and listening God's word is not something that comes naturally to us. God says it's a commitment that we have to make. And as we well know, Christian education is not always an easy process once we take the time to do it. You're going to have those evenings where you come home from a hectic week and you've got a headache and you're mentally and emotionally and physically drained and you don't want to sit down with your family and read from God's Word. You're going to have those times in church or in your own personal devotion, where you're going to come across that section of the Bible again, and you're going to think to yourself, boy, I got to read this again. Pastor's going to preach on this again. I already heard this 100 times before. Commitment to the Word of God and making time for it is not an easy thing. And that's where the second thing comes in. God says part of the process of Christian education is also faithfulness. Education in God's Word does not come down at the end of the day to who is wisest, to who knows the most about their Bible, to who's been a member at the church the longest. Education is about faithfulness to God. And that faithfulness is, as the word suggests, something that springs from faith in Christ. And so the faithfulness that we show to the Word of God, the ability to make a commitment to it despite the changes in our lives, despite the many temptations and distractions that would lead us astray, comes from what Christ has done for us. And so in these two ways, Christian education is really quite an ordinary thing. It's not spectacular, and it doesn't look jazzy on the outside. It seems like something very common. The process is to listen and to believe. We might naturally think of this process as taking place at church. And I certainly hope that as you're gathered here today, one of the things that we're doing is that we're listening to what God says, and we're also believing what God says. We certainly hope that that's happening here today. But as strange as it sounds, what God is telling us here is really not about what happens in the church. It's happening in your home, and that's where God points the direction. He talks about fathers instructing their children. He talks about generation from generation knowing what the Word of God says and passing that down to one another. And so though we gather here for 1 hour on one day of the week, there's really much more that God is pointing at in many of the other areas of your life. In fact, everything really contained in this psalm is ultimately directed at the Christian family. And as parents, your task is to lead the way. Sometimes we don't understand, though, why Christian education seems to fail us. Kids grow up attending church each weekend. Kids are raised in a Christian school. Parents invest money and time and energy to teaching what God's Word says. And yet, many kids leave the faith when they grow up. Many young people eventually leave it all behind when they get older. And it's puzzling to us, right? It might be, in fact, one of those puzzling questions that the psalmist talks about here in the text. How could this happen? If I have a God who promises me that His Word will not return to me void, it will accomplish the purpose that He intends for it, and I devote so much time and energy and effort in that direction, why doesn't it always work out as it should? Well, sometimes, like we said, there are other factors involved as well. God gives us tools to work with. God provides a way. God says He will bless that way. But God doesn't force anyone to accept that way. The process does not always mean that the outcome will be the same. But what it does do is it shows us that God gives us what we need to lead the way. And our job as parents should not so much be trying to answer questions that we don't have answers for, that are in the hands of God. But we as parents and leaders in the church should be training, teaching, and setting the example of what it means to be a follower of Christ day after day after day. Part of this process certainly has the goal of establishing a habit of coming to church on Sundays. But if Christian education is only about that, I think you'll find that your faith will be completely out of balance. The psalm explains, "We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power, and the wonders that He has done. He set up testimony for Jacob and Israel. He established the law. He commanded our fathers to make it known to their children. Then the next generation would know it, even the children not yet born." Too often we make time for God an hour each week. And then for the rest of those hours in the week, it's the Wild West. It's anything goes. It's chaotic and hectic. It's anything but structured. Too often, we defend the virtues of the Christian faith so long as they fit into what I think is right or what those around me believe is right. And too often, as leaders and parents, isn't it true that we preach a good game, but we don't follow through with our own actions? So we could sit here and contemplate a question of why that we ultimately don't have an answer for that is in God's hand. Or we can look at what God's saying to us and ask the brutally honest question of whether or not we have fulfilled the call that God has given to us. And if not, how we might do better. The process is simple, God says. Give your children, give the church, give the next generation simply what God has given them, the blessings and promises of hope in Christ. As Paul told Timothy, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, persuade, and encourage. That is your job. That is your privilege as a Christian. And our church, whether we're talking about redemption here or another congregation in our fellowship, or if we're talking about the Christian church across the globe, whatever it may be, the church desperately needs Christians like you to step up and to do what Christ is calling you to do. Because through every process, at the end, there's that purpose. Nothing you do in the name of Christ and through His Word is a means of an end itself. There's always something greater behind it. God is always working behind the scenes of whatever you're doing when it's led by His Word. Sometimes we think of it as just going through the steps and the emotions of being a Christian. Well, yeah, it's my job to go therefore and make disciples. It's my job to proclaim the whole counsel of God. So, okay, where's the Bible passage? What do I got to say? What do we got to read? That's never a means to an end itself. There's always something bigger going on behind it. And so our text describes, then they would put their confidence in God. And they would not forget the deeds of their God, but they would keep His commands. They would not be like their fathers, a stubborn, rebellious generation, a generation that did not keep their hearts steadfast, whose spirits were not faithful to God. There's the purpose of Christian education. And it's interesting in the Bible that whenever you see a negative passage or a passage of God's law that is telling us something that is an obligation on our lives, you can kind of see inherently in it the opposite positive effect of that. And so the end of our text kind of ends on a negative theme that they would not be like those stubborn and rebellious people in the past. But you can see within it the opposite attitude of faith. That we would be patient, that we would be obedient. A generation whose hearts are steadfast, whose spirits are faithful to God. These are difficult things to talk about in our lives, because I'm sure each and every one of us has a loved one in our family, in our community, in our church that no longer follows Christ. And God's word this morning here is not meant to be a lecture. It's meant to give us hope and confidence. Because the ultimate reason why God gives us a process and a purpose in Christian education is to lead us to our greatest hope. When we look inwardly at our lives and analyze them according to what God tells us to do, if we're doing our job right, that should lead us to a certain amount of guilt at times, a certain amount of shame, a willingness and a desire to do better. But God doesn't want you to stay in that position. God does not want you to sit in grief and shame and condemnation and law. The ultimate reason why he gives us his word is to give us hope. We're reminded of a passage like Lamentations 3, a book that was built around condemnation and judgment, a book that was named after sorrowfulness. In Lamentations 3, God reminded his people, though the Lord's mercies through them, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Christian education is not just about instruction. It's not just a discourse on truth. It's not a lecture from God to you. But ultimately, it's about showing you the comfort and joy you have in Christ. Because the whole purpose of educating the next generation is not to turn them into people who think that they have to do all the steps themselves to achieve harmony with God. Perhaps some of the problems we have sometimes are because we give that impression. Now, the ultimate purpose in educating the next generation in the truth of God's word is so that they can look beyond this world to what Christ achieved for them. To see that even when you make mistakes, even when you don't prioritize the right thing, even when you're only spending an hour a week in God's word at church and you're neglecting it in the rest of your life, even when that happens, the Lord's mercy is new every morning. What a thought. That when you lay your head down at night and you wake up the next day, God's mercy is there, new for you every morning. And so, ultimately, our message today is that it's never too late to start the process of Christian education. It's never too late to see where we can improve. It's never too late to have more of Christ in our lives. It's never too late to use more of His Word to solve the problems that we face instead of looking out to everything else in the world. What we share to others, and most importantly to our own children, is ultimately the very thing we treasure the most. The very thing that Christ has done for us. If you feel guilt over not setting the example that God calls you to, don't despair. Don't sit in that guilt. Don't stay in that place, because His mercy is new for you every morning. But the key thought is this: with such a treasure, it can't be just on Sunday. It can't be just through Christian day school. It can't come just from the pastor. It has to be in your home. It has to be in the family. We need Christ in our homes. We need Him at our dinner tables. We need Him when we come home from work. Our children need Him when they're at school. We need Him when we confront disaster and hopelessness in life. We need Him when we're reminded of the harsh reality of our sin. We need Christ when we struggle with depression and abuse and addiction. Just because He offers us a promise of life in heaven does not mean He ignores the things that we go through in this world. It does not mean that the world has all the answers and there's just some things that God can't help me with. We need Christ in every area of life. And most of those situations that you'll encounter, most of those occurrences that happen to you, will not take place within the walls of this church. But they'll take place in your schools, and in your workplace, and in your home, and in the conversations with your children. And that's why we treasure Christ. Ultimately, the purpose of Christian education is eternity. You think about somebody like Estelle, 104 years here on earth. I didn't know her very long. I met her when she was 99, much younger, right? But even she would ask me at times, why am I still here, Pastor? Talk about a question that I can't answer. But what I can tell her is exactly what she knew from early on. Exactly the same thing that she was baptized into. God's mercy for her was new every day of her life. What comfort and hope. And that pushes us not down further into the world, but to heaven in eternity. Sit back and ask yourself sometime, do I believe in eternity? Simple question, right? Of course. I'm a Christian. I believe in eternity. I take treasure and stock in heaven and God's promise for me. But then think about all the things in our lives that we do that have nothing to do with eternity. Think about all the things we worry about that discourage us, that get us down, that Christ has already conquered. That's the purpose of Christian education. Keep your trust in eternity in heaven through Jesus Christ. And how could we want any more for the next generation? What more could we give our kids that are going to help them today? We believe in eternity because that's what Christ won for us. And so we want our kids to have good grades. We want them to be successful. We want to lead lives of prosperity and meaning in life. We want to be able to fulfill our goals and accomplishments. But ultimately, at the end of the day, none of that matters. None of that is eternity. If the words of our text sting in your ears a little bit and hurt in your heart when you read them, take comfort. It's never too late for Christian education. As the psalmist declares, we will not hide them from our children. We will not hide the truths of God from them. We will not conceal them or cover them up. We will not keep them secret. We will declare them to the next generation, that they may have confidence and hope in God, that they may be able to follow the same process to the same purpose through the power of the Holy Spirit working in their faith, that the next generation would know, even the children not yet born. So be comforted and encouraged today in this important task that God gives to you. His mercies are new every morning. His compassion fails not. He has promised you eternal life in heaven. Consider that call of God to go out and share that message with others, and most importantly with your family, not a burden, but a tremendous privilege of faith in Jesus Christ. God, lead us and grant us encouragement and strength to that end in our lives. Amen. Please rise.